my pleasure to talk today. Actually, it's second talk at the Fields Quantitative Seminar. Like last talk I gave probably 10 years ago, and hot topic was war with heavy tails. So now hot topic is credit risk, so we are trying to keep up to date. So this work was done at RBC together with Leon Sigalov in methodology group in risk management. And I presented a similar but little bit less presentation at the Global Derivatives Conference in Chicago last year. But we added very important case of jump diffusion models additionally to Gaussian models. So it will be, I think, interesting addition to the presentation. Outline of the talk is, first, we consider definition of counterparty credit risk measures, which are in practice for many years in different financial institutions, and new topic, it's pricing of credit risk, which became important during the crisis, so CVA. However, CVA models, they incorporate wrong and right way risk and a lot of articles on this topic. But risk management departments still use old risk measures like PFE, potential future exposure, which are not current because they don't incorporate wrong way risk and right way risk. So the views expressed in this presentation is solely of the authors, and they are not necessarily present the view of Royal Bank of Canada. Especially, we will give some recommendations, or we will propose to use some credit measures for counterparty capital, Basel III counterparty capital, and it's our own view, not official view of the bank, Royal Bank of Canada. So this is a disclaimer. Then after introduction of new counterparty credit risk measures and definitions of CVA with wrong way risk, etc., we will consider a sufficiently unified multi-factor Gaussian model, so back to basics, Gaussian model for default intensity framework. And this model, I think, is very useful for large financial institutions with thousands of counterparties and thousands of risk factors like interest rates, FX rates, inflation indices, etc., 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 commodities. When you need to build a large-scale Monte Carlo systems, and of course Gaussian processes are ideal for simulation of large systems. However, I think this is unique situation. I know like only one instance of this simulation when Gaussian model is much more complicated than any other jump diffusion, CR, square root process, etc. models. And Gaussian model for default intensity doesn't have analytical tractability. So this is only one example I know when Gaussian model is more complicated than other models. And it's very interesting. So we will discuss this Gaussian approach for intensity framework. And then I'll present some toy model, well, not very far from reality, but some test model for Wiener integrated intensity, and derive some Volterra integral equation for calibration of the model to term structure of CDS spread. And then based on idea of this idea of consecutive fitting into CDS spread term structure, we will present sufficiently general Monte Carlo based calibration approach for general Gaussian jump diffusion model without any restriction on jump size. So this is a little bit sufficiently general framework that actually works in practice very well. And finally, it's well known that Gaussian correlations in diffusion processes, they don't produce very strong default correlations. And specifically for portfolio counterparty risk management, it's important to increase default correlations and to have higher dependence between counterparties than Gaussian correlations give. So we will consider some copula approach additionally to Gaussian correlations and present some new copula that has some features that distinguish this copula from T-copula or Gaussian copula for this particular framework. Okay, so I will probably go very quickly about introduction, that especially during the crisis and regulators outlined importance of runway risk in counterparty credit risk management and pricing. So runway risk in general is when default probability of the counterparty is positively correlated with exposure. So more counterparty owes to your financial institution, higher probability of default of this counterparty. And that's why risk is significantly magnified when we have runway risk. When we have rightway risk, which is opposite, then when exposure goes up, probability counterparty to go bankruptcy decreases. So we have much secure environment dealing with such counterparties if we have rightway risk in our portfolio with a given counterparty. And Basel three documents, they distinguish general runway risk from specific runway risk. Specific runway risk is runway risk that is specific for given counterparty. And the most famous example of specific runway risk is if you have a put option on the stock of counterparty. So when stock of the counterparty goes down, it means counterparty performance is bad. Probability of default, of course, goes up. At the same time, put option, value of put option, mark-to-market value of put option goes up. So we have exactly situation when probability of default positively correlated with exposure. So this is classical example of specific runway risk because we have put option on specific stock of given counterparty. So general runway risk is runway risk with respect to general market factors, for example, FX rate. So example, I think the most relevant to actual trading practice is runway risk with respect to FX rates. If you have, for example, huge cross-currency swaps with some government, for example, government of Greece, or you have huge cross-currency swaps or forward FX agreements with big national banks that exchanges local currency, for example, to US dollars. Then if country performance is not very good performance, usually FX rate, local currency goes down. And this cross-currency swap, exposure of this cross-currency swap, mark-to-market value, goes up. And usually, if this company, this bank, has a lot of cross-currency transactions where this company exchanges local currency to US dollars, for example, we have exactly runway risk with respect to US dollar. So default probability of counterparty goes up when local currency goes down. And we have a lot of examples of multi-billion cross-currency transactions with such counterparties, including swaps with governments, with Greece, whatever. So this is classical example of runway risk. Then runway risk is, you can see runway risk in energy when airlines or opposite, like oil producers, they swap oil prices or gas prices, gasoline prices, to hedge the exposure. And depending on sign of the position, long or short position, you may have runway risk or long risk. Because if oil price goes up, then probability of default of oil producer goes down, of course. Well, usually. And opposite, if oil price goes down, then probability of default of oil producer goes up. So we have exactly run or runway risk if we deal with oil producer. However, there are some examples that it should be runway risk, for example, but in fact it's runway risk. So example is, it was a big gold mining company in Ghana, in Africa, and they produce gold. And some investors, they had investment, some transactions with this gold mining company, and they expected that when gold price goes up, then of course counterparty risk decreases, because probability of default of this gold mine company, I forgot its name, but it's actual company, goes down. However, this company decided to hedge their risk to gold price, and they bought a lot of forward contracts in opposite direction, and they overhedged their risk. So when suddenly gold price went up, everybody expected this company will be in very good condition, and this company almost went to default because their portfolio was overhedged against gold price goes up. So when you actually calibrate this correlation between exposure and counterparty probability, you need to be very careful. Well, you need to use maybe accounting, like to double check portfolio of the counterparty, but in practice it's impossible. So you may calculate statistical correlation between your portfolio and return of your portfolio and, for example, credit spread of counterparty or stock price of counterparty, and somehow decide, do you have runway risk or you have runway risk, or you are neutral. However, this example shows that you need full analysis of portfolio of counterparty to exactly know if there is runway risk or no. So if you have 5,000 counterparties at a big financial institution, then practically the investigation of each counterparty is practically impossible. So you need to measure and to hedge runway risk on average, at least on average. So we'll present exactly some unified model of modeling runway risk, like for average counterparty. Okay, so I will only a couple words. So pricing of counterparty credit risk, as you know, which is calculation of CVA, credit value adjustment, should be done in risk neutral measure, and all parameters should be calibrated to market curves and market implied volatility. So calculation of price of credit risk should be done in risk neutral measure. However, when you measure counterparty credit risk in risk departments, you need to analyze long history of risk factors, etc., and do calculation in historical measure. However, Bazel documents, they allow to price, to calculate CVA and to price counterparty credit risk and to do risk management for counterparty credit risk in risk neutral measure too. And from like stability point of view, well, we used to do measure change by drift from risk neutral measure to historical measure. But because counterparty credit risk is measured as peak exposure over life of portfolio, and if you have cross-currency swap, 30-year cross-currency swap with exchange of principal of notional at the end, you have maximum exposure at the end, like in 30 years. So you need to predict behavior of your risk factors in 30 years. It's practically impossible. So the most uncertain prediction is for drift. So if you calibrate in historical measure, you need to predict drift, which is practically impossible with some certainty. So it's not very bad idea to do counterparty credit risk management also in risk neutral measure, which represents the view of the market, what will be your market factors in 30 years. So maybe you cannot guess better than the market. So in practice of some banks, some financial institutions, they price CVA in risk neutral measure and they calculate counterparty credit risk in the risk management department also in risk neutral measure. And it's allowed, officially allowed by regulators. So for simplicity again, and from these considerations about uncertainty in the drift, we will present our model only in risk neutral measure. So we will price CVA and we will do counterparty credit measures in risk neutral measure, both of them. Okay, so pricing of counterparty credit risk is called credit value adjustment or CVA, and it's mathematical expectation of the integral of positive exposure, so maximum from mark to market and zero, discounted back to present time and integrated with probability of default. So this formula is valid when your exposure is independent from probability of default of given counterparty. And this formula, exactly classical formula, doesn't account for runway risk, which is exactly dependence between your exposure and probability of default of the counterparty. So opposite to CVA is DVA. It's price of risk of investor when counterparty enters into the contract. You need to calculate bilateral CVA, means approximately difference between CVA and DVA. And then if you agree on price for CVA and for DVA, then you can enter into transaction because you agree on price of risk from both sides. Then CVA is closely related to so-called expected positive exposure. Expected positive exposure profile at time T is mathematical expectation of positive mark-to-market. It means that it's mathematical expectation of positive part, it's when counterparty owes you, and zero when you owe to counterparty. So if you have a swap, interest rate swap, if interest rate is in the money, so mark-to-market is positive, you average over these positive values. If mark-to-market of the swap is negative, when you owe to counterparty, then it's zero. You don't have counterparty credit risk. So Basel III exactly requires to calculate this positive expected exposure, EPE. And moreover, it requires to calculate like running maximum of EPE for 1 year, and capital allocation exactly is based on this expected positive exposure. So it's very important risk measure that banks exactly do capital allocation based on the, on these numbers. And as we see, if we use this formula with no dependence between exposure and default probability, which is like simple formula, we don't account for runway risk. And but banks in general should be rewarded, it's our opinion, should be rewarded for doing right risk business and penalized for doing wrong risk business. It's similar to netting. When you can net, then you can decrease your exposure to counterparty. And if regulators didn't allow to net, then you would have huge capital. The same is with runway risk. If you do right risk business, your exposure and corresponding capital should be lower. So in, still in Basel documents, they require to account for runway risk, but they don't say anything about right risk. Our proposal is exactly to calculate so-called conditional expected positive exposure, which is you have a joint distribution of all of your risk factors together with default probability of counterparty. And this joint distribution may have dependency between market factors and default probability. Then you instead of calculation of expected value of positive exposure, you calculate expected value of positive exposure conditional on default of counterparty. So in pure probabilistic sense, you calculate conditional probability of your risk factors conditional on default, and then take this integral over conditional probability. So such conditional expected positive exposure was considered in articles, in few articles within Merton approach. Merton approach, when your asset stochastically evolves through time and default occurs when it hits some boundary with some extensions. And you model, so the authors of this approach, Merton's approach for runway risk, they model runway risk by correlation between your asset and corresponding risk factor. For example, FX rate. So it's regular Gaussian correlation between log normal distribution of FX rate and log normal distribution of your asset. So there is such approach. But traditionally, pricing of CVA, calculation of CVA, is performed in practically in all serious practical approaches using intensity-based approach, so reduced form approach. So we propose exactly to calculate everything using this reduced form models, and we'll exactly describe this reduced form model. Then, one more drawback of current counterparty credit risk measures is as following, that credit departments calculate counterparty credit risk using so-called PFE profile, potential future exposure. You simulate your risk factors, you calculate positive value of your portfolio, and then you calculate 95 percentile of your distribution of your exposure for each time. So this is, you calculate profile, PFE profile, and then counterparty credit risk departments, they take maximum of this profile and they exactly allocate line of credit and limits for given counterparty based on this number. Again, this measure doesn't account for runway risk. It's just distribution of your portfolio disregarding correlation between portfolio and default probability. So we propose, and this is new measure, this measure was not considered in reality, that just go to basics and instead of PFE profile, which is profile of 95 marginal distribution, 95 quantile of marginal distribution of your portfolio value, calculate conditional 95% profile conditional on default of counterparty. So this way, like in traditional probabilistic sense, you calculate conditional probability and then calculate 95 percentile of this conditional probability distribution conditional default. And if there is, we'll see a lot of graphs that illustrate this dependence. So, and if you have runway risk, positive correlation between your exposure and probability, then this profile will be higher to the runway risk. If your conditional distribution of your exposure negatively correlate with default probability, then conditional PIC will be lower. And then counterparty credit departments will automatically include runway risk in these limit systems, in their limit systems, etc. So we propose exactly naturally just go to basics and instead of PIC profile, calculate conditional PIC profile, similarly to conditional EPE and similarly to conditional CVA numbers with runway risk. Then one more problem is as following. CVA measures price of risk as integral of your positive exposure with respect to discounted exposure with respect to default probability of counterparty over time. And it does matter when default occurs. So PFC profile calculates 95 percentile for particular time. So we say if default occurs in 5 years, how much we can lose with probability 95%. However, measure that doesn't care about when default occurs, but care only how much you will lose with 95% probability. It's economic capital measure. So what we propose additionally to PFC profile, to use economic capital measure, economic capital-like measure with runway risk, and calculate full default full credit loss probability distribution, including dependence between defaults and market factors, and calculate just 9 percentile of this full default probability. And this number we'll see on example sometimes has much more meaning than PFC profile, and I will illustrate this on particular examples because economic capital like measure, it includes probability of default of counterparty. PFC profile doesn't include probability of default of counterparty. It's also only include distribution of risk factors and corresponding distribution of your portfolio values. So, and we'll have one number that also includes probability of default. Okay, now we will consider exactly this reduced form approach when we have default intensity that follows some differential stochastic differential equation. And we will strictly follow Lambda's definition of default within Cox process. I will describe it next slide. But in general, pricing of CVA and was done exactly according to this approach, and mostly using so-called affine models with positive default intensity. This is very important. Example of such model is CR model, for example, where you have square root process for default intensity, and it produces non-central high square distribution for default intensity, and default intensity is always positive. Then if default intensity is positive, integrated default intensity is increasing function of time, stochastically increasing function of time. And default event occurs when this integrated default intensity hits some exponential random barrier that we simulate independently of stochastic differential equation. So this is exactly Cox process construction we will consider. And now I exactly explain why Gaussian model for default intensity is more complicated than CR model or CR jump diffusion model with positive exponential jumps. It's favorite model of Brigo and other researchers. And why Gaussian model is not analytically tractable. So let us consider one-dimensional Hall-White model for default intensity, lambda, in additive form. So we have homogeneous Arnstein-Eulenberg process for default factor, default intensity factor X. And then we add some deterministic function, drift, like drift function, to fit into term structure of initial term structure of default probabilities. And we simulate or like model this default intensity by this process, And then according to lambda, default occurs when integrated default intensity hits exponential random variable, which is equivalent to first jump of Poisson process with intensity exactly equal to realization of this stochastic intensity. So again, Cox process is double stochastic process when you first simulate a path of default intensity according to some process. Then given this path of intensity, you consider Poisson process with this non-constant but deterministic intensity. You use this path. And then first jump of this Poisson process exactly will be time of default. Because jump times of Poisson process are exponentially distributed, therefore this Poisson jump of Poisson process is equivalent that you calculate integral of default intensity, then you draw exponential random variable because time is exponentially distributed, and then when this integral hits this exponential random variable, you have default. Okay, classical models Duffy Singleton, lambda, Brigio, etc., they consider positive processes for default intensity, like Coxinger or Ross, etc. And if you consider positive process for default intensity, then integrated intensity is increasing function, like this part, like increasing function. And then with probability one, if you have positive drift, with probability one, it will hit this exponential random variable for some time with probability one. And difference between this model with positive default intensity and Gaussian model with possibly negative default intensity is that integrated default intensity can be decreasing function. If your default intensity is negative, then integral of it will be decreasing function. And problem is that if you consider, for example, you need to calculate this mathematical expectation, like according to affine models, at time t of this exponent of integral of default intensity, and your default intensity is below this exponential boundary, this is exponential boundary, is below. So it doesn't mean that this integrated intensity Gaussian model didn't hit this exponential boundary before. So you cannot calculate directly this mathematical expectation of default intensity as in a fine model with positive default intensity. So if default intensity is positive, integral is increasing. And then if it hits this exponential random variable, it will be first time and you know that it didn't hit before. That's why you have nice, a fine Dassey Singleton approach model, and you can use this machinery of a fine model and calculate default probability in closed form, everything is okay. However, for Gaussian model, it's exactly, because default intensity produces non-monotonic integrated default intensity. You cannot do it. So what you need to do is to take mathematical expectation of exponent of maximum, running maximum of default intensity. So this black, so red is integrated default intensity. So it increases first and then decreases. But of course, running maximum is always increases. And when maximum hits this exponential random variable, then default occurs first time. So this problem is similar to American option problem. So this maximum exactly kills all analytical tractability. That's why Gaussian models don't have closed form solutions. And that's why Gaussian models are much more complicated than like the square root processes, whatever, with positive default intensity. So it's a big difference between Hallwright model for interest rates. There's no problems with negative interest rates. You just have bond prices more than one and everything is okay. Here, you may consider negative default probabilities, whatever, but if you do strictly Lander's definition of default, you need to operate with mathematical expectation of maximum. And then you immediately lose analytical tractability.
Is it the same thing as saying that the intensity, when it hits zero, you just maintain it at zero and then?
No, you calculate running maximum. So it's black is running maximum.
No, but this is the integrator. The integrator hits the maximum and continues there. Isn't it the same as the thing that the intensity?
No. If our asymptotic value of default intensity, even in Gaussian model, is positive, like it has positive asymptotic value, then integral has positive, it increases on average, yes? It may go down up, but again, with probability one, it will hit this boundary eventually. But first time, but to calculate this time, you need actually to calculate expectation of this maximum, unfortunately. And then immediately you don't have any analytical tractability. So let us consider exactly some approach, how we do it numerically and treat this model. So, and question is, why we consider Gaussian model on the first place, if it's so complicated with respect to like other affine models? Well, I told you that we have like thousands of counterparties. And to simulate correlated CR processes is very, very intensive in terms of performance. You need to discretize them, it's very difficult. Secondly, so at Gaussian model, of course, you simulate in closed form for thousands of risk factors easily. It's just Gaussian model. You can calculate, you can simulate integral of Gaussian process and Arsène Lubeck itself together with Hallwright for interest rates, effects, log of effects, etc. in closed form. So simulation model is perfect. Second problem is as following, that you don't have information about maybe 2/3 of your counterparties. So some counterparties don't have credit default swaps, like Canadian banks, CDSs are not traded on Canadian banks. You need to somehow to get this information. Then there are some private companies, et cetera, et cetera. So usually in practice, what you do is you use KPN-based approach, regression-based approach. You just take some credit indices, you regress your individual credit spreads on these credit indices, and like guess some idiosyncratic volatilities for these credit spreads. And your simulation is, you simulate correlated indices, like 100 indices only. And then every of 10,000 counterparties, you simulate only a idiosyncratic component and do this regression. And of course, Gaussian model is perfect for regressions. I doubt if anybody did regressions for CR processes. or CR process with jumps. Have you heard about regressions for CR processes? Maybe it's possible, of course, but very complicated to implement. So we pay some complicated calibration procedures that I will describe later. But then, after we calibrate each counterparty separately, we simulate very quickly with high performance and very easily for a large number of counterparties using regression approach. So that's why we want to have this Gaussian approach. So it's from practical reasons, not from some theoretical reasons. Okay, so I will present some lemma. I don't know, I didn't see such lemma in standard textbooks. So you can easily derive that default time density is calculated through density of heating time of this integrated and Stalenbeck process to some boundary, exponential boundary, by this Laplace transform. Usually in textbooks, there are formulas for Laplace transform with respect to time. This lemma gives default intensity as Laplace transform with respect to this barrier level you hit. And this Laplace transform should be evaluated at 1. So this is the formula how you connect density of heating times for this integrated and Stalenbeck process, this exponential boundary, you hit exponential boundary with default times. So then this lemma gives you nice way to calculate default intensity to fit in the term structure, arbitrary term structure of default probability. But before we go to general case, I'll consider special case of Wiener process. So we assume that default intensity is white noise, so it's dW, plus some deterministic arbitrary function phi. So integrated intensity will be just Wiener process with some drift, which this problem is equivalent of to problem of heating times of Wiener process to this minus phi, which is boundary. If you consider boundary equal to minus phi, then drifted Wiener process heating flat boundary will be equivalent to this problem. So this problem is well-known problem, of course, and there is well-known Bachelier-Levy formula for linear drift, for linear drift only, or linear boundary, whatever. And formula for general boundary, even for Wiener process, is unknown. Nobody knows what is solution. There are some cases of some exponential boundary, whatever, but in general case, when we need to fit in that CDS term structure, solution of these problems, like toy problem, is not known. So let us consider example. We consider this default density, and exactly this default density corresponds to this linear drift. And based on these formulas for this particular model, we can derive integral equation of Volterra type to determine this function phi to fit into arbitrary term structure of CDS spreads. So it's based on some Durbin's integral equation. Durbin derives this equation with respect to F, so the heating time density. If phi is given, then you have this in Volterra differential equation with respect to f small f. So if you use this lemma, you can derive similar integral equation for default time density. So we consider inverse problem. We have default density from CDS spreads, like standard method, bootstrap method, JP Morgan bootstrap method. So this is given, and we need to solve this integral differential equation, which is just, you can do by discretization scheme very easily. But main idea that exactly this two example gives is you have Volterra equation. So what you do, you solve for first point T1, then given value of phi at T1, you can solve for second point, et cetera, et cetera. And numerical procedure is very effective because it's Volterra equation. So let us consider for like there are some numerical examples how we solve this Volterra equation. And now we consider general Monte Carlo based methodology of fitting into term structure of default probability. So instead of Volterra equation, what we do, we simulate a lot of paths of Einstein-Lundberg process and corresponding integrated Einstein-Lundberg process. Then we calculate numerically on discretization scheme running maximum of this integrated Einstein-Lundberg process. And then we calculate numerically mathematical expectation and then solve this equation with respect to phi. So at each time step, you have, for example, 1 million of exponents, sum of average of 1 million of exponents, but and you have some nonlinear equations that you can solve by bisection method, for example, or Newton method. And then you exactly calculate such phi that fits in the given term structure of default probabilities. And this method exactly similar to Volterra equation. So you calculate first phi, then calculate running maximum for T2, T3, et cetera, et cetera. And given previous values of phi, you can sequentially bootstrap or recover all path of phi. So let me give some examples of this methodology. So if model was affine, then there is closed form solution. If you forget that default intensity can be negative, there is a closed form solution, Duffy singleton solution for this function phi. However, if you do our Monte Carlo based bootstrap procedure, you can see if you fit into flat hazard rate, then this, for example, calculated function phi drift in our process is very different from analytical solution, but this is not solution of our problem. I told you need to calculate mathematical expectation of maximum, not of this one. So, and we calibrated successfully this model, Gaussian model for actual banks, whatever, and fitted into actual default probabilities bootstrap from CBS Press. So, well, it takes maybe, because you need a lot of Monte Carlo scenarios, usually we use like 100,000 or up to million scenarios, but Gaussian, they're simulated in zero time. Then you solve this a lot of exponents, this numerically nonlinear equations, like equations, and you can calibrate maybe counterparty in 5 minutes or couple minutes per counterparty. So you put like 100 processors and in 10 minutes you can calibrate 10,000 counterparties. So there is no problem from production point of view. Then given this function phi, then you can simulate in very quickly and calculate your CVA and runway risk for thousands of counterparties. So, and then I would like to illustrate, I have how many minutes? I started 5:15, yes?
Yeah, so maybe you don't have that much time. 5:10,
no?
Under 10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes. Agree, 5, okay. So I told you that we propose to calculate conditional EPE, expected positive exposure, and conditional PFE profiles. So this is exactly, this graph gives you conditional probability distribution of the stock price conditional on default of counterparty when you have correlation plus one with this Gaussian default intensity and minus one and zero. So if you can see, this is exactly conditional distribution. This conditional distribution has right way risk, this conditional distribution has wrong way risk, and this is neutral. And corresponding profiles are different from right way risk and wrong way risk. So this gives you exactly like bounds of right way risk and wrong way risk. Then this example gives you calendar spread of two call options, and because the exposure has maximum during like 3 months only, probability of default during this period is very low. If you consider classical PFE without right way risk, this problem has right way risk, then you calculate maximum of PFE profile equal to $85, for example, here. But probability very low. And then your front office or traders, they scream, they say, okay, come on, we have call option on stock of the counterparty, it's pure right way risk, and you give me huge PFE that does account for right way risk. If you account for right way risk for negative correlation between stock price and default probability of counterparty, your PFE immediately drops to $10. So this is very serious. And economic capital-like measure will be much lower because you have very, very short interval when you have high exposure. Then there are classical examples of interest rate swaps, again, with wrong way risk, with right way risk. So they're quite different. So Gaussian correlation can increase wrong way risk maybe 30%, 50% for 10-year swaps, whatever. Then I told you that the most dangerous are cross-currency swaps because they have exposure, maximum exposure at the end. And you have quite increase in exposure for some cross-currency swaps depending, of course, on parameters. Okay, then if you have collateralized counterparty, you need to calculate full collateral logic with thresholds. So if exposure is less than threshold, you don't post collateral. If it exceeds threshold, your counterparty should post collateral, etc. But usually this threshold depends on credit rating of counterparty. Means that if counterparty is downgraded, then threshold should be decreased. Your counterparty should post collateral immediately. So the problem with counterparty with credit triggers is how to simulate consistently defaults of counterparty and migrations, credit risk migrations. And because we have only model, intensity-based model for defaults, we don't have mechanism how to do it. But Gaussian approach allows to do it very easily and like simply and naturally. So we can see the transition matrix approach for defaults and transitions. Then we calculate transition matrix conditional on no default. So only for transitions. So we recalculate transition matrix only for transitions, conditional no default. Then we simulate using this Gaussian intensity-based approach default time of counterparty. We simulate a path. Then before this default time, there is no default. And we use our regular Gaussian Koppel approach for transitions. And in this way, you naturally combine Gaussian Koppel for transitions with default probability intensity-based approach. In Landa's original article on Cox process, there is very complicated models that you cannot do in practice with transition, with matrix of transition and default intensities that you have no way to calibrate. This model is sufficiently simple model. So this is exactly description of this model. And finally, my 2 minutes is like Brieger, exactly within a fine approach, they use jump diffusion processes with positive default intensities. And you necessarily have jumps only up, because if you have jumps down, you immediately have negative intensity. So in our approach, we can use jumps up and down because our calibration procedure is universal. Integral of jumps is continuous function, and you still can fit into term structure of default probabilities. So, and for Wronger risk, sometimes with one counterparty you have positive correlation, with some counterparty you have negative correlation, and of course you need jumps of different signs. And this graph exactly shows you difference between pure Gaussian approach and jump diffusion approach and like co-model, double exponential jumps. And it's well known in literature that in Merton approach, for example, in Lander's book, that jumps affect only short maturities. So big difference between Gaussian asset process and jump diffusion process in Merton's approach. Similarly, we have the same result. So this function phi, calibrated according to our procedure, is very different for short maturities up to 2 years from Gaussian. But then it's practically the same. And this function phi is calibrated with jumps only up and jumps only down. So this methodology is universal. So it works for jumps of arbitrary sign, which is good property. And the same, of course, for short maturities, like 1 year, your conditional distribution for jump diffusion model is skewed left or right higher than Gaussian model. Means that if you want higher runway risk, you need to simulate jump diffusion model, not Gaussian model. Okay, and my final topic was this different copula. I will just put it on your seminar website, and you can look at it. But I think I will just skip for sake of time. Thank you very much. To calibrate what? This is exactly, I told you that it's very uncertain area. So you can, on average, you can do like historical correlation between credit spread, if you have history of credit spread for a given counterparty, and FX rate, for example. Or you can directly try to calculate correlation between your portfolio, daily changes P&L of your portfolio, and credit spread directly. Or if you don't have CDSs, you may use stock price, which is negatively correlated to credit spread, yes? Error will be huge. And there are examples that you have instead of right risk, wrong risk. But on average, if you deal with on portfolio level for whole bank, you will be right, like if you have like, and there are some examples of monolines or whatever, or huge cross currency swap dealers, then you know that this dealer is exposed to FX rate of the local currency negatively. So you can put, and you can exactly increase correlation to be more conservative, for example. So impact is not 10 times, you saw graphs. Impact is maybe 30% of runway risk, right risk, so you will not be totally off, but you can have conservative numbers. To calculate exactly correlation, you need full investigation, accounting investigation of your all forward contracts of your counterparty, everything of counterparty portfolio, which is impossible. So you just like implicitly, and there are no options on correlation. So you cannot take risk neutral approach. So we propose like historical approach, and it will give some uncertain, but we checked for counterparties that really have specific runway risk. If you have put option or call option on counterparty stock, you can directly calculate what is correlation between credit spread and stock price, which is like -90% whatever. So for specific runway risk, which is very important in Basel III, you can calculate runway risk correlation. For general runway risk, well, you do whatever you can.
I'm not sure if our Western colleagues are listening in at this point. If you are, perhaps you have a question.
I'm not sure if you can hear us. We've got no questions, but we really enjoyed the talk, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, it's great to hear that you're there. Okay. More questions from the audience?
No, these are all real examples. These are real examples of actual 10-year swaps with calibrated densities for some Bank of America, Ford, whatever. These examples were real examples.
Right, so basically it's true that if you use your approach, you can actually change the correlated exposure and the deposit instead of the regular
DAT or... Yes. The model of default is strictly Landa's construction based on Cox process. So Cox process is double stochastic process. It's
what I meant by a little bit more deformed without double exponential. So you have a process.
Okay, you have, okay, default time is first jump of Poisson process. This is the definition of default time. Then this Poisson process, instead of deterministic intensity, has stochastic intensity. But you don't calculate joint distribution of this first jump of Poisson process. But first, you simulate a path from any stochastic process in general. Yes? From any stochastic process, you simulate in generality. From any stochastic process, you simulate a path for default intensity. It becomes deterministic. And then you consider Poisson process with this deterministic lambda. And first jump of this Poisson process is default time.
Somehow I was under the impression that the first heating time is the model for default.
No. Because this is exactly, if you have Poisson process with deterministic intensity already, yes, you already simulate a path, then first jump time is exponentially distributed. And then first jump time of Poisson process is absolutely equivalent to heating time of integrated intensity by independent exponential random variable. These are two equivalent definitions. How you connect Poisson process jump with heating time jump.
Yes.
They're absolutely... Yes. Yeah.
So but bridging between the two is a class of models called the incomplete information models, where the barrier is random.
Yeah.
And
no, 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 no. It's similar. So in methods approach, your assets have some stochastic process, and you can simulate stochastic barrier. And when asset hits the stochastic barrier, default occurs. In reduced form approach, you simulate integrated intensity, but simulate barrier only from exponential distribution. Then there is similarity.
At one point in your slide, you kind of change the game by replacing the integral of lambda by Brownian motion.
No. This was a toy example.
That's a toy example.
This is a toy example, but... No, it's okay. Your intensity lambda is dW, it's white noise. It's like stationary, it's still stationary, yes? And integrated intensity, which is winner, it has variance proportional to time. Yeah, structure of passes is very different. When you have integral of unstaling back, still variance of integrated unstaling back asymptotically has variance proportional to time also. So it's diverges also. But of course, passes of integrated stalling back are differentiable, whatever, and they have different structure. So for short time, heating times are very different. But for long time, they're similar. That's why you have similar, like, long-term long-term phi, this phi, from this toy model, similar to actual model with unstable back default intensity. But for short time, it's very different, of course, very different. For Wiener process, we saw the graph that probability density goes to infinity for heating time for this Wiener process.
Again.